This is CliffCentral.com. Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
It is Monday afternoon. The time is 1 minute past three. My name is Rosie Motene, a.k.a. the Afro-Yiddish Princess. Welcome to my show. As you know, with Pan-African Connect, we connect with beautiful, amazing people from across the continent. We've done music, we've done film, we've done art. Today, it's all about fashion. And I'm going to be speaking to two phenomenal designers who are based in South Africa, but who get the idea of what the importance of what Pan-Africanism is about and how they express it through their work. But first, before we get into to today's topic, we got to start with this.
Yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is. Pouring down. Soon as I hit the shoe, I go so hard. I'm Rosh Hashanah. I'll roll the shofar. Get my hair did. Read the Torah. I'm thugged out. I set my enemies with the menorah. Yeah, uh-huh. You know what it is. My nose and ass, they're both big. Yeah, uh-huh. Screaming fuck a hater. Sipping Hennessy in my Passover Seder. Repping for my parents when you see me, you blow everything.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Rosie Motene, aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess. And today on my show, Pan-African Connect, we look at Pan-African fashion. And in studio, I have a phenomenal designer who's behind the label Batini Designs. And then later on, we're going to be chatting to a mother and daughter duo who are based in Cape Town, but originally from Zimbabwe. So I'd like to welcome my first guest, Batini. Welcome to my show.
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for having me.
It's only a pleasure.
Sure.
So you're South African born, but yeah, your majority of your designs and your fabric and everything come from across the continent.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from to establish this label?
Well, previously I used to work in corporate. In fact, I worked for one of the big banks in mm-hmm. South Africa up until about a year and a half ago. So I've always loved colorful fabrics, beautiful mm-hmm. textiles. So on and off I've been collecting, not really knowing what I wanted to do. and just one day, because I had my brother passed away, mm-hmm. and he was the only sibling I had at the time, well, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was going through his things, I realized that he had quite a lot of plans, things to do that he wanted to do, but he never really got to, because he kept saying, oh, I'll do this,
yeah,
I need to save
procrastination
and all of that.
Is always.
So I thought, you know what, let me mm-hmm. do this now. I think I decided like a week after that, you know, in like 6 months, I'm going to leave my job and this is what I'm going to try and do and build something that means something to me.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, I always admire people who leave the structured, comfy career, especially within the corporate sector, and then following their hearts. I mean, what were your challenges? And also, what did your friends and family say around?
Well, my friends and family thought I was crazy,
mm-hmm. But they always do.
but there were quite a few that could see how that could work better for me.
Mm.
I mean, when I resigned, my boss didn't even try to convince me. She just knew that this is it for me, you know. And in terms of managing myself and adjusting to the changes from a structured type of everyday life to now everything being, you know, my responsibility, that there was quite a huge adjustment. And I must say, with all the business experience I've had and all the training I've had, it's really quite different when you're doing it practically.
Yeah, people think that entrepreneurship is, you know, it's your own hours, it's lots of fun, but the thing is, if you're not putting
lots
in the hours,
at
the beginning of the month when the bank SMS goes through, it's like that frustrating feeling. But now, I mean, did you have any background in terms of design?
Or? Yes, I always loved clothes. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know that I loved it to this extent.
Yeah.
And I was taking sewing classes. classes and pattern making classes, just like part time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hit me that I could really do this,
yeah,
seriously, and take it. And I just put everything in it. And so far, it's been very good.
Mm.
The response has been great.
And, I mean, your designs, how would you best describe them?
My designs are for everyday women, you know, women going to work, women going out for drinks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to put myself in a specific type of a
genre
to say, yeah, if you could say that. But what it is, it's clothing for confident women who want to express themselves in many ways. So, you know, if you're different, if you like classical type of, you know, you'll find something from me. If you're more like a hippie style.
Well, you see, that's what I liked about it. And when I was going through your different pages, I mean, I saw that Lyra's dressed in this beautiful, sexy little top, but then I also saw a woman who doesn't have the same body as Lyra, you know.
Yeah.
So it at least transcends to everybody who feels confident enough to wear color.
Yes.
You know, because that's also another thing which is really beautiful. Across the continent, women have been dressing in color. But the majority of South African women,
not so much.
And more Western. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a perfect example of that. It took me a while before I felt comfortable in that. Have you noticed that the transition is getting did you notice the transition, number one?
Yes.
And are more South African women more comfortable in wearing it as opposed to just wearing it for like a traditional wedding or so forth?
I think it's slowly moving away from being an event type of thing where you dress up for a specific event. I'm getting more and more women coming in, you know, and they don't want to buy from shops anymore. They don't want to look like everybody anymore. So you know someone will come in and say, use this fabric, but please, if somebody else comes for the same one, please tell them it's finished.
Yeah,
because women want to be confident, they want to be seen, and plus on the general, there's that, you know, they're growing in their career, so they can afford better to have custom made clothes as well. So it's definitely getting there.
And in terms of your design team, how many people are making up? Is it a one-man show? Is it typical entrepreneurship?
For now, it's me, and I have a tailor that helps me.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible for the construction, but from design, pattern making, cutting, everything.
That's beautiful, because then at least you know what type of print is going to be going out.
Yes.
Because it's your logo.
Yeah.
You know,
and the quality checks.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, but I mean, going back to women not wanting to look like everybody else.
Mm.
One of our biggest problems is the China market that's come in.
Yeah.
What have your challenges been in terms of the type of fabric that you're using as opposed to a cheaper version of that is, I mean, you can definitely see it when you go into certain shops.
Yeah.
But what challenges have you overcome through that?
The challenge with me is that with the Chinese ones, the prints are beautiful, but the quality is really, really bad. And the quality that I use, I it's not easy to find. I find that I have to constantly be asking people for, you know, contacts, and, you know, so I buy my fabric from people that move up and down from Ghana to here. And there's a lady in Zambia who can send me some fabrics as well. But in terms of me walking into a shop and buying African print, it's not going to happen. Like, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I get the inferior quality, and I don't want my quality to variate from, you know, very good to now almost like very light. You know, so it is a challenge in terms of when you are for the textile industry in South Africa, for us to have proper access to these fabrics.
Yeah,
it's really quite a challenge, and it's not cheap either.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, well, I mean, you as you said, that you get people from across the continent. But so do you just, if you know somebody is, for instance, going to be going to Ghana, do you just buy in bulk, or how do you do it?
Because I buy in bulk. There's a lady that now does it regularly. She helps me with the sort of bulk. Then I'll just send her pictures of what I like. And there are some standard prints that I always use.
Right.
Those ones she knows she always has to supply me with.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look around in town. You know, Yeovil has a few people as well that have quite a lot. And choose what looks pleasing to my eye.
Yeah.
And that's what I present to my customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when a customer comes in the door, do you already have like a set plan in terms of what type of energy they're carrying? Or do you strictly stick to like, for instance, if I come in and I say, I want a dress and it needs to be like this.
I try to influence. I always try to influence and also get a little bit of me in each of their, what they want, you know? So, I mean, I obviously want them to be relaxed, and we'll probably would have chatted over WhatsApp or over the phone before, just for me to get a sense of what their style is and of the things that they've seen that has drawn them to me, what it is that they liked, you know. And when they eventually come and see me, then it's a lot easier to conduct the entire meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where have you showcased your work?
I showcased my work in Pretoria. That was the first one in September at the State Theatre.
And oh, wow. What was that function for?
It was a Women's Month thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was part of the initiative that they were running at the State Theatre. And that was actually my debut mm-hmm. last year in September. And I did Soweto Fashion Week in the winter installment of it mm-hmm. earlier this year.
Yeah.
So since then, I've kind of been stopping in terms of doing too many of these shows because mm. you need time to process what works, because usually when you have a line, only two or three really hit the spot. But even yesterday, we are pushing, I'm originally from Mamelodi, we're pushing Mamelodi Fashion Week, which mm-hmm. is a new establishment.
Brilliant.
And we're trying to really put Mamelodi on the map. So we were showcasing yesterday, we did a street show right in the middle of Mamelodi, which is really quite exciting.
And how did the community react to that?
There were I think people were skeptical, you know, when you're advertising, and because they're thinking, this is going to be a flop, you know, I mean, this is Mamelodi, things like this don't happen.
Yeah.
But it was well organized. Mm-hmm. And people had fun. So now we're working on our next installment, which will happen in end of March, mm-hmm. beginning of April.
Yeah.
And have that twice a year going on.
So, and then another thing that I wanted to find out from you was that in terms of the funding, I mean, have you been doing it all on your own?
Yes.
Or, oh, wow.
Pension fund.
Sure, girl.
Yeah, no, I took my pension.
The dream is strong.
Yeah, so the corporate really helped.
Yeah.
For those years, I saved. Yeah, I was supposed to save, so now the money I just took and put in the business as just startup capital. And now I'm just running on, you know, as much as I've really toned down, try to keep things at a bare minimum in terms of expenses to try and keep myself going so I can grow the business.
And I mean, you've got people coming in and buying specifically from you.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself branching out to any form of franchise or marketing or?
Yes, I'm hoping to, what I'm working towards now is to get my clothes in stores so mm-hmm. people can readily, you know, just walk into a mall and find a Batini Designs original outfit.
Mm.
And of course, I want to continue with the custom design side of the business as well. But I need people
explain to us what the custom design side of the business.
So people come to you and say, I'm going to a wedding or mm-hmm. I'm getting married.
Right.
I want something special that looks different from anything out there. And then we go through a consultative process where we talk about designs and eventually we come up with what works for that particular person.
Right.
So that's not something you're going to see maybe on one or more than one person, like that specific thing.
Right.
And the other things are more ready to wear everyday type of clothes or that kind of thing. Those are the things that I'm trying to get into shops or hopefully open my own.
No, not hopefully, it's going to happen.
Yes.
You've got to change the wording.
I must stop talking like that.
and then across Africa, I mean, where else? I mean, you spoke mainly about getting your fabrics from Ghana.
Yeah.
Have you looked into East African side and also maybe getting your brand to that part of the continent?
I've looked into it as in I've thought about it deeply. And it's one of my things that I'm praying and I'm working towards getting my clothes all across Africa. And in terms of sourcing fabrics, right now it's just the West African area because that's what I can manage.
Yeah.
And but I'm working towards getting from different areas so that people, when they come in, I can tell them, this is from Kenya, from Kenya, selection from so-and-so in place, you know, just to give a bit more variety and to make them feel special.
Because we all like to feel special.
Yeah.
And is it unisex or just ladies?
I do guys clothes as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was not a choice that I made, but when somebody comes with their boyfriend or husband and they're going to a wedding, like, can you please just use the same fabric, hint somewhere on the shirt?
Yeah.
So, I'm getting into that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's a natural progression into that as
and
well.
And accessories and belts and pan bags?
Bags now. Mm-hmm. I'm toying with a few ideas. My mom does a lot of beadwork, so we're trying to incorporate her beadwork with some of the textiles that I work with to make one of a kind clutch bags and a series of designs for bags.
We're
working on that for the coming, I think, over 6 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be out.
Fantastic. Well, we're just going to take a quick break now. Cool. We're going to listen to Gina West featuring Kunle Ayo. I thought this would be the ideal song to play considering you're speaking a lot about West Africa.
To think that life was full of pain and strife, you know, feet let them go, You were a one-man show. Yes, you would cry and cry until your tears ran dry, feeling sorry for yourself. You were full of bitterness. Then you realize you only have one life. You gotta make the best of it. You can shape your future. You gotta set your mind, and you'll be sure to find the world's your oyster. And leave the past behind you. Don't look back. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on the path you face. Run that race. Keep running that race, running that race. Nothing can stop you now. Keep running that race, running that race. Make you no give up now. Keep running that race, running that race. Nothing can stop you now. Keep running that race, running that race. Then no can stop you now.
Champion or aye, or da be a ni to da ko. Abojú ẹ̀yìn tó fẹ́ padà sílé ilé ò máa ṣe lọ àti ká tẹ̀síwájú ká foríjì àforíjì ló mú nílé
ké
ìkòkò tó bá máa jáde ṣe bí ìpín rẹ̀ á kọ́ lọ àfi ká ní sùúrù.
CliffCentral.com.
At iStore, we love Apple stuff, but we're only human. Sometimes we drop our iPhones on the road, face down, and it makes us sad. That's why we came up with iCare Plus, a nifty little product exclusive to iStore for when stupid things happen to good people with awesome phones. It'll have your beloved iPhone covered for water, screen, and physical damage. So come to iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
Pan-African Connect on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to the show. The time is 20 minutes past 3. And today we're talking Pan-African fashion. And in studio, I have the vivacious and daring Bathini Kuwane, who left corporate and followed her passion, followed her dreams, and has got this most amazing design line, which I actually, how I found it was just looking through Facebook, looking for different ideas, and I was like, wait a minute, this is very, very dynamic, but it was a name that I didn't know, you know, and then I looked at the rest of the designs, and I saw certain people wearing them, and I was like, no, we need to delve a little bit more into this for a South African girl who's understands the Pan-African dream, if you want to call it that, you know. But let's talk about some of the challenges you've had as a female entrepreneur, because, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, and we were saying this during the break, that, you know, you can be creative, but if you don't have the business savvy and you can't balance the two, you're going to fail. I mean, what have your major challenges been?
I think with me, it was that I just saw myself making clothes, beautiful clothes, and I initially didn't think about what the impact of that would be. So that means when you make clothes that people like, you have to multiply, you have to get people to help you, because initially I was only working on my own.
Yeah.
And but in terms of negotiating with people that you work with, from buying fabrics to finding a good tailor, as a woman, you know, people think, especially if you're coming from a position where you've not been in that industry, people don't take you that seriously, or they think you're playing. So it's, you really have to work two times harder to just show how serious you are in what you're doing. And, you know, talking about the balance between being creative and you know, I mean, balancing it with your financial management, because business is financial management. It doesn't matter how cool you are. If you don't manage finances, you don't manage yourself as a person and as the business, and separate yourself from the business. It's not going to work. You're going to make great things that are not going to go anywhere, and you're not going to make the money that you could possibly have made if you just focus a little bit more.
And so, support from other key players within the fashion industry?
I'm not sure, because I haven't had any, or maybe I haven't looked, or maybe don't know in which areas to look. So what I'm trying to do is just put myself out there and use every platform that puts me in, you know, in the public, so that I can mix with the right people that will say, oh, DTI here, or oh, go here, and all of that. And I think my business is also in its infancy stage, so there's a lot of things that you learn as you go along. And what did you thought theoretically and versus doing it practically, totally different. You gotta wing everything as you go. That's pretty much how it's going at the moment.
When somebody walks through the door and they want this is a design. Like, I'm going to a wedding. What is your first port of call? How do you conceptualize it? What is the whole process that you go through?
People these days, are so easy, hey.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
They come with pictures, 10,000 of pictures. Oh, my gosh, I love this. I love that. I love that. Which gives you a pretty good idea of where they're going. So you just think about the bits and pieces of what they like in the different things and try to put that together and suggest, how about this, you know? So it's a long consultative process with up and down, exchanging of pictures, talking about that, come in, let's see if this works, sending of sample fabrics. Sometimes even making the trips with them to the fabric store. You know, talking about pictures, sketching and all of that in between. And until they say, yes, this is it, let's go. And then we start with the actual, okay, I'll call you after a week for a fitting.
And in terms of of support from your family and everyone, I mean, are they, do they now understand that's where you're going and why you took this crazy step?
My mom supported from day one.
Beautiful.
When I said I'm leaving that job, she's like, okay, so what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to make clothes. Okay, well, just do what you want, you know?
You mentioned before that your mother does beadwork. I mean, do you come from an artistic family?
She also used to sew a lot for people, like curtains and things like that, when I was much younger. And then she stopped. So when I, you know, started getting interest in this, she would just say that, you know, this is my dream, and I'm so glad that you are into it, because then you could take it a lot further than I could possibly have.
Because also we got the resources, and we have to be exposed so much to, you know, to what's out there.
But my husband is also very supportive. I mean, when I told him I'm going, he's like, oh, just go.
You're lucky.
Don't worry. We'll figure this out.
We'll figure it out. God will figure out the way.
Yes, I'm blessed.
and I mean, does he have an artistic flair?
Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, because normally somebody with a very straight corporate mind, they're like, you want to do what?
It's the whole. What about the house image? What about this?
So in the future, where would you like to see Bertini Designs?
International stage.
Yeah.
Streets of Milan. Streets of Dakar.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally everywhere. That's where I want to see Bertini. I want everybody to have a Bertini design and understand that it's not about what the clothes look like, but what they feel like in your body and what they look like inside. Because I put a lot of time and I pay a lot of attention to details, you know, the finishing. It's not just about, you know, threads coming off and, you know. It's like,
at the end of the day, it's your brand that's going out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to listen to Angelique Kidjo, because I thought she's also just a dynamic, powerful woman. And then we're going to be speaking to the ladies from Cape Town who are going to be talking about their designs.
Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Malaika, nakupenda malaika. Ningekuwa mariwe, ningekuwa jaja. Nothing and a man is in a way. Ningekuwa mamalaika. Nothing and a man is in a way. Ningekuwa mamalaika. Esa. Sasudu waduhunyengu. Esa. Sasudu waduhunyengu. Na minifo nyeji. Kingana mwezi nyo. Na shingana mani sina we. Nashinga na mani sina we. Ningekuwa mamalaika. Eba.
Beautiful, beautiful sounds of Angelique Kidjo and, of course, the well-known track Malaika. If you'd like to give us a call, the number's 0861-555-189. Of course, I'm on Twitter at cliffcentral.com or at princessrtm. And, of course, we're also on Facebook and on Instagram. If you just joined us, we're talking about Pan-African fashion, and I've been speaking to Batini from Batini Designs, who is South African-based but uses West African fabrics to create the most amazing, amazing designs. And now on the line, we have Taborai Chirume, who is behind the label of One of Each, and they're based in Cape Town. Taborai, how are you?
I'm fine, and you? How's it going, Rosie?
Very good. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Tamburai.
Tamburai. I'm so sorry.
So
you're originally from Zimbabwe. When did you guys come to South Africa?
Okay. We've been in South Africa for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So I came to South Africa when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
My parents relocated from Zimbabwe.
Right.
On a job transfer.
Okay. But
did
you come from a typically artistic and fashion-based background?
Okay, well, I can say that I come from a very strong entrepreneurial background,
mm-hmm.
Where my mother is a very strong creative, and we run the business together.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is very much a business and entrepreneur person. So basically, it's a balance of both. But from my mother's side of the family, the creative side is very, very strong.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Let's talk about, I mean, when, because you originally came from the retail space and your mother has been in the design space for many, many years. Where did the idea come to for the two of you to actually just collaborate and create these designs?
Okay, we get that question a lot. So I always explain to people that it's not a decision that we made.
Mm.
We just saw each other working with each other. And from a very young age, I would always be with my mom within the industry and what she was doing.
Yeah.
But I always saw that there's potential to build a bigger thing and a proper brand. So that's how we actually then, I mean, with my retail experience and my experience in banking as well,
mm-hmm.
we decided to put that together and create an actual running business that works really well.
Yeah. And I mean, you've chosen, you obviously chose Cape Town because that's where you've been living. What were your major challenges, first of all, starting in an industry where fashion basically infiltrates the market wherever you look, number one. Number two, at that time, there were very few black fashion designers within the Cape Town space.
Yeah, that's true. And well, what we did was we were always really interested in the travel market, to sort of provide a really good product that tourists would come through and buy and actually think, okay, this is an African product, but it's good quality. There's no but or you don't think twice to actually buy it. And we wanted to create a product that appeals to a greater market, irrespective of color, race, origin, or anything like that.
Right.
And being within Cape Town, that has allowed us to do that because of the fact that mostly tourists come and they're looking for really good products to buy and take back home.
Yeah.
So, yes, it has been challenging like anything, but I think because we really believe in what we're doing and people really see what we're doing, that's what has helped us through.
Yeah. And where do you source most of your fabric from? Because I mean, I want to talk about your choice of leather, but let's start with the choice of fabric that you use.
Okay, well, most of our fabric we actually buy in Ghana, mostly West African prints.
Yeah.
And then we also have been starting to try and buy the fabrics that are more naturally processed, like your kente cloth.
Yeah.
The ones that are really done, not, you know, screen print and that kind of thing. So most of our fabrics come from West Africa directly.
And in studio, I have Batini from Batini Designs. And one of the questions that I also asked her was that for a while, South African women didn't really wear traditional clothing unless it was for a specific event. Have you seen that transition? Have you seen that crossover happening more in Cape Town now?
There has been a massive transition, and I think it's the way people are now viewing African prints. It has always been that kind of thing where it's, you know, our mothers wear that kind of clothing and that kind of thing, but people wear it with pride, and it feels so good when people come through and they, you know, we also make dresses and that kind of thing, but people actually come through and they want a dress, not for a traditional African wedding, but because, you know, they're going to any odd event.
Yeah.
So it's been really beautiful to see how we, as well as Africans, have shifted our mindset by thinking it's only for traditional wear and, you know, you can't wear it within the corporate environment and, you know.
Yeah, that it actually does have a strong sense of elegance and sophistication to it.
Yes.
And you use a lot of leather in a lot of your items. Why choice of leather?
Okay, well, because we now specifically focus on handbags, what we did was wanting to be a global brand, we decided what is the unique element that we can use which will make the product appeal to a wider market and, you know, like for people to just say it's African, but it's also got that elegant feel. So we chose to use leather because of the fact that, you know, you don't really see fabric and leather put together in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And our bag is, our typical bag is a bag that you can use in four different ways. It's a very innovative product as well.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Yes. Okay. Well, basically, it's a fold-over bag. And you can fold it over in, let's just say, four different ways. So if you fold it over on the one side, you'll have the fabric and the leather. And on the other side, it's the leather and the fabric. But at the very same time, it can be a plain leather bag.
Yeah.
So our main objective was to create an innovative product which can be used in so many different ways.
Mm.
However, we only make one of each as well.
Oh, wow. And I suppose, well, that brings me to the choice of name. How did you guys come up with a label name?
Okay. When we were doing clothing, we always really custom made. So clients would come through. We would never produce ranges of items. We mainly focus on an individual. So that has always been our concept because of the fact that we love relationships with our clients.
Yeah.
So that whole unique aspect. And we also try and, you know, the way we source our products, we also try and find offcuts of different types of elements to create that uniqueness and that one of each-ness, because you're an individual, Rosie. You don't want to look like anybody else. Yes, and you're special. And if that bag is going to cost you a lot of money, it's got to be special.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to be on that international stage and offer a luxury product to the maximum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I, when I was doing my research on about you, you mentioned that sustainability and conserving the earth and natural resources is one of your main values. How do you maintain that within your brand?
Okay, we maintain that in the sense that going back to the fact that we only do one of each.
Yeah.
That allows us to be able to source offcuts from designers like Fatini. You know, so if they have offcuts that they don't use as African designers, we would get that off them instead of throwing that away.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we do that within, you know, going to Mozambique and Ghana and West Africa.
Mm.
So we don't just buy like huge heaps of fabric. We actually buy off cuts, and that's the way where we create a, you know, a product that's of that nature.
Yeah, yeah. And where have you showcased your work?
Okay, we've showcased at New York Now, which is in August 2015. We showcased the design in Durban 2015 as well. My mom recently came back from the India International Trade Fair as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And, I mean, I asked Bettini this, and I always ask female entrepreneurs when they're in studio. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we have a lot of challenges as it is as an entrepreneur. But what as women and as black women, the challenges are a lot larger. What have your challenges been over the last couple of years?
I think the challenges have been very broad in terms of managing staff, for instance.
Mm-hmm. How big is your staff?
We are a group of 10 in total.
Wow, okay.
Yes, and our main production line is quite male-dominated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also quite a challenge, you know. But at the end of the day, I think it's got to do with how you look at those challenges and how you move around them to just create what, you know, your objective of what you want to do, because nothing comes without those challenges.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if we look at women like Folorin Shaw Alakija from Nigeria,
yeah.
I mean, she started off as a fashion designer doing what she's doing, but I mean, she's into oil and gas, which is a male dominated industry.
Yeah.
So personally, I look at people like that and I think, okay, maybe these challenges are really small. She must have gone through a lot more.
Yeah.
So I think it's just all about you as an individual, you know, and I'm very blessed to have my mom because we work so perfectly together.
Yeah, well, you can see. I mean, but I also noticed that you guys also do styling. Let's talk about that aspect of the business.
Okay, the aspect of styling is my side of, you know, my mom is creative in terms of product.
Mm-hmm.
She is the creative director, and she brings out all the product that we do. And my side of the business is actually the styling side, where I put things together and I've done a lot of styling work in the past for magazines like Elle, and that kind of thing. So that's just a passion, I guess, and that's how our brand actually really comes together, because my mom being the creative in terms of product quality and production, and me having my retail, finance, and styling background, it just really does come together nicely.
Yeah, it's a whole package that comes together.
Yeah,
I'm going to open up with a question to both of you.
Okay.
In terms of the future for African fashion, and Bettini, maybe you can start with us. Where do you see it going? Where do you see it heading?
I think everybody's just going to express themselves in any way they want with clothes, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
They can be bright, they can be, you know, whatever they want to be, anytime, anywhere in the world, and it'll be acceptable for a lot of people and themselves.
Yeah.
So I think we're becoming more confident and more, you know, understanding of ourselves, comfortable in our own skin, and it's starting to show, and I think we're going to see more and more of that going.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And what's your take on that, Tambora?
I agree with exactly what Bettini is saying, that people are becoming more confident about being African, in fact. And that just explains everything from dress, from eating. And I just think Africa is becoming global. And we as people and as young people who are doing this need to inspire each other and encourage each other to do more.
Yeah.
Because our continent has quite a huge population, but if it's only a few of us doing it, you know, we need to just move really fast and be on that global platform, you know, and have brands which appear within, you know, retail spaces within the UK and all various different countries.
Mm.
So I think it's getting there. It will take some time like anything, but, you know, if we just look ahead in that direction, then, you know, it's possible.
Mm. And in terms of, I mean, you spoke about, I mean, you were in New York, you were at the Design Indaba. Have you managed to get assistance from government and from corporate key players?
Yes, absolutely. Most of our assistance has been coming from the DTI, CEDA as well.
Yeah.
In Cape Town, we have an institution called the Cape Craft and Design Institute that helps us out a lot. So, to be honest with you, we have been getting really great support from all those departments.
Now, one of the main issues with, I suppose, anybody within the artistic sphere is that we don't have trademarks or anything in place in terms of people copying your type of work. And I mean, there was this whole big hoo-ha a couple of weeks ago about somebody else who accused another person of stealing her designs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
How have you maintained that? And I'll ask Bettini first. How have you maintained that authenticity? And if it has happened to you, how have you dealt with that whole process?
You know, like I said, people generally know what they want, so they'll show you a picture and say, please make me this.
Yeah.
And I always say no.
Yeah.
I always say no. I say, tell me what you like about it. Maybe we can find a way to make it you or something. So I've actually turned people away because they wanted me to copy other people's work, because I don't want anyone copying my work.
Right.
And another thing is that your customers that are loyal to your brand, they protect you, because I have people sending me pictures of my clothes on other people's sites being advertised as theirs.
Wow.
So they would say, I saw your dress, and I don't think that person is crediting you for the design. In fact, they are putting it across as if it's their own design.
Yeah.
I would, you know, naturally get in touch with that person privately and say, please take it down. That's my, and that picture will definitely have my name on it. They will crop it out.
Wow.
They crop
it
out.
It's gotten to that level.
Yeah, they crop it out and just put the picture without my logo.
Wow.
And I will tell them, wherever you got the picture, it would have had my name.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then we take it to the streets.
Then we take it to the streets. Absolutely. We roll up our shirts. We take off our earrings. Tamborai, have you experienced anything along those lines?
Yes, I mean, it's something that happens on a daily basis, and it's happened, you know, but what we've done is we've obviously researched, like, in terms of putting the correct mechanisms in place for that, but it's very difficult as a young business, you know, the cost involved for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And in fact, it seems very difficult because we don't have, within our fashion industry, I think Bettini will agree, you know, regulatory boards who stand up for such things, you know. So it's
but
really
are those type of boards, regulatory boards, are they, do you find them across, like, in the West, in Europe or so?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I come from a banking environment, so if we have boards for those kind of things, why can't we have boards for the creative industry, you know, who regulate our behavior within the creative industries, that we remain authentic and don't copy each other's work? So like Bettini also said, once again, your customers are actually the people who protect you the most, because it doesn't matter where you go and what you do or copy our product, somebody always sends it to us. Somebody always sends images to us that, oh, did you know about this? Oh, I sold your product to such and such a place. And I think it's also by you being really good to people and developing those relationships with your clients, it allows people to protect your brand.
Yeah.
You know, because they also see the hard work and what you've gone through to build what you've built.
Yeah. I suppose it's also when, because I strongly believe in the laws of attraction. So if you're going to be putting out the authenticity and you're going to be putting out the realness of your brand, you're going to attract those type of customers.
That's
true.
You know, and where could we find your designs?
Okay, you can, in Cape Town, you can find us at the V&A Watershed, which is the creative market within the V&A Watershed. Then we're at Hart Bay Market, only on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. For the Johannesburg clients, you can find us at the new workshop, Newtown.
Okay.
And then we have our own outlet at 27 Boxes.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes.
And what's on the game plan for the next couple of months? I mean, do you have
any... global. It's all about global.
Yay, that's what we want to hear.
We want to be the Louis Vuitton of Africa because it's not there, you know. So we just want to go global.
Yeah. But I mean, talking about the Louis Vuitton of Africa, because... You know, there's a lot of people have said, and I don't know if it's 100% true, but a lot of people have said, well, the reason why Louis Vuitton has really survived in South Africa is because of the West African market that are coming in to buy. Because, I mean, face it, Louis Vuitton in South Africa is a lot more expensive than it is in Paris. But
absolutely.
Do you have a lot of West African clientele? Or should I rather say Pan-African clientele?
We do. In fact, we have more of those clientele than our own locals.
Wow.
Yeah, and our product mainly is in, like, I could just say about 80% support comes from the international market. While we are here locally, it is about 85% tourists, you know, people coming on business.
Yeah.
So that is our market, and we're currently exporting quite a lot.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. Yeah. Yay! Like to hear that. and do you design for men as well?
We are heading there. We're starting off with a men's wallet. Like you said, 2016. That's where we are. You know, we're planning on bringing out a product for the male market.
Yeah. At the moment you're doing women's clothing. You've got Pam bags. What else do you have on under your label?
Okay, we mainly focus on the handbags at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes. We do clothing, but custom make and really like projects, you know, where it would involve the styling as well. But our main element is the handbag.
Yeah. Brilliant. And for young designers out there who have this dream, they don't know what to do with it, what words of advice would you be able to give them?
Okay, I would give them words of advice that would involve get yourself information, you know, more information of what you want to do and ask for help. People are afraid to ask for help and people are afraid of being shut down, but somewhere, somehow, there are people who are willing to help. And I mean, wherever I go and wherever my mom and I on what we do, we are always willing to give advice and, you know, help others because we will also help.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how we can grow within this global continent of ours by helping each other and sharing.
And from you, Bettina, what of advice would you?
I'd say whatever you're feeling and whatever you love, go for it. And you must also not take it too lightly, in terms of how much work it actually takes to make things like this work.
Yeah.
It's been over a year for me, and it's been a lot of work. It looks great on Facebook when you put up pictures and, you know, the things are done, but the chaos in the background, it's a lot. So the reality is that it's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
So if you're not gutsy and if you like your sleep, it's not gonna work.
True.
I'm glad you said that, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who are, you know, pretending that it's so easy as a woman, you can go do it, and they're taking selfies, whatever, and
having coffee.
You know, having coffee, you know, it's Wednesday afternoon, they're doing tequila shots. You know, and I was speaking to a friend of mine who's an entrepreneur as well, and she was like, I've been ashy for the last couple of years, you know what I mean? You know, and I think these are the dialogues that we don't need to start having, this truthful, that you can do it, but you got to go in.
And it's more work.
Yeah.
More work than you think. Whatever you're thinking, multiply it by 10. That's how much work is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tamboroy, I mean, a lot of people say that you should never go into business with family, but you have debunked that myth altogether. How have you guys maintained that?
Well, my mom and I have the structure of our company, we have, you know, a segregation of duties.
Okay.
You know, so my mom does this specifically and I do that specifically, even though I know how to do what she does and she knows how to do what I do.
Yeah.
But in that sense, it really helps us out, you know, that each person's roles are very defined.
Yeah.
And I think also the family aspect even helps because, you know, it's the love. Love can do a lot. And we get this question all the time. How do you work together as mother and daughter? But, like, it's for me, I don't picture it anyway and anyhow. Like, that's exactly how, you know, it works. And currently, it's amazing. And it's a lot of wisdom that comes from my mom and her experience as well.
Yeah.
You know, and
because it's a family brand, you know, one of the downfalls of a lot of businesses is that people who work for you might not be as passionate for your future and for your brand. But if it's a mother and daughter, where it's your legacy.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, as others get born, you know, my little nieces are really interested in what we do. Mm. So it's just, you know, you're building something that can last potentially and hopefully for a very, very long time.
Beautiful. Well, I look forward to seeing both of your designs at the Emmys, at the SAFTAs. We're just putting it out there, putting it at the AMAs, and the rest of African royalty wearing it. You know, it was very, very striking and beautiful to look at. And I'm going to talk about Bettina's designs. And I mean, you've also had beautiful people wearing yours, but Lira, who's just absolutely gorgeous, just rocking this design.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was a very, very proud moment that finally South Africans are getting it in terms of the Pan-African movement. So I congratulate you.
Thank you.
And lots of love to your mum. And when I'm down in Cape Town, I will definitely pop in for a fitting. Okay. Stay blessed, my darling.
Non, c'est pas l'école qui m'a dicté mes codes, on m'a dicté mais le rap, voilà de la boulette. Sortez les briquets, il fait trop tard dans l'hôtel. Alors ouais, je me la raconte, ouais, je déconne. Non, c'est pas l'école qui m'a dicté mes codes, on m'a dicté mais le rap, voilà de la boulette. Sortez les briquets, sortez les briquets. Y'a comme un goût de haine quand je marche dans ma ville. Comme un goût de gêne quand je parle de ma vie. Comme un goût d'aigreur chez les jeunes de l'an 2000. Comme un goût d'erreur quand je vois le taux de suicide. Me demande pas ce qu'il épouse à casser des vitrines. Je suis pas la mairie, je suis qu'une artiste en devenir moi. Je suis qu'une boulette, me demande pas si j'ai le bac, j'ai que le rap et je l'embarque, je l'embrasse, je le macaire, je l'embrasse. Y'a comme un goût d'attentat, comme un goût de Bertrand Cantat, comme un goût d'anthrax pendant l'anthrax. Y'a comme un goût de foulette, foulette chez les mots. Comme un goût de boulette, boulette sur les ondes. Alors ouais, on déconne, ouais, ouais, on est. Comme un goût d'alcool dans les locaux du policia. Comme un goût de peur chez les meufs de l'an 2000. Comme un goût de bœuf dans l'oxygène qu'on respire. Me demande pas ce qu'il épouse, ça se casser les couilles. Je suis pas les secours, je suis qu'une petite qui se débrouille moi. Je suis qu'une boulette, me demande pas si j'aime la vie. Moi j'aime la rime et j'emmerde ma rime. Juste parce que ça fait zizir. Comme un goût de bafou, comme un goût d'agapone. Comme un goût de hardcore, hardcore dans les écoles. Y'a comme un goût de foulette, foulette chez les mots. Comme un goût de boulette, boulette sur les ondes. Alors ouais, on déconne, ouais, ouais, on est. Dans la bouche de Sarko, comme un goût de Michto près des Mercos. Y'a comme un goût de boum boum dans les chambres des jeunes. Y'a comme un goût de boum boum dans le cœur de mes soeurs. Y'a comme un goût de je suis saoulé de tout ce qui se déroule. Y'a comme un goût de foulette, de boulette qui sont dans la foule. Alors ouais, on déconne, ouais, ouais, on est con. Non, non, c'est pas l'école qui nous a dicté nos codes. Non, non, génération, non, non.
Diams and La Boulette. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And Bettina, we didn't tell our listeners where they can get hold of you. Your Twitter handle, Facebook page.
Facebook page, Bettina Designs. That's Bathini Designs. My handle on Instagram is @BettinaDesigns, and that's the same for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And my clothes are available from the Closet Apparel and Accessories Boutique in Atson Main, Mabuning Precinct.
Absolutely. I'll pop it up onto my Facebook page.
And, yeah.
You know, yeah. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. You know, thanks for the invite.
No, of course. But keep on letting us know what's happening. Yes. We look out for who's going to be wearing them on the red carpets. And to putting your name up there and making us proudly South African.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Because it's definitely going to fly. It's luxury, it's beautiful, it's sophistication, but more importantly, it's African. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Eh?
Thank you for listening to my show. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. We were supposed to have Joseph Benjamin last week, but unfortunately he wasn't available, so hopefully next week we will be able to profile one of Nigeria's heartthrob actors and singer, performer, TV presenter. He's done everything. He's fantastic. Until next time, follow me on Twitter, PrincessRTM. Please send your compliments, your complaints. Be nice. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Until then, see you soon.
Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
Mixmasters Entertainment.
This is what feminist freedom would really sound like. A crossbreed between music and those of twilight. Marching as the queen of her past life. A dream in the dark night. Here, so she left, right, left, right. March a pilgrimage on, she is Gigi the Don. Griselda was born. Stop the Armageddon. A call to the writers left. Keep your words in check. We need to save them before they fail their test. No lazy mind ever saved the universe. No unlearned life ever packed the funeral. So wait, never let them broad tell you what to do. Saints will say beauty is far, but talent is you. Grind harder, live smarter, sharp caller. You're a woman, a father, a son, or a daughter. Bibles are good, but frenzies are longer. You matter the most, so you need to ponder and conjure. A plan so good, they'll never be able to touch you. But love and hug you for the reasons that they try to fuck you. Ain't nobody got time for that when you hustle. They bark but can't bite, God bless the muzzle. We keep fighting though we die in the battle. Rolled into the dark with no blinkers, no saddles. I'm just waiting here trying to get my happy ever after. First verse in the Bible, Genesis was the chapter.
Sun rises in the morning. I can hear you in the midst of the rise, you were calling. The beginning of a story, Genesis, you're a dream unfolding. Sun rises in the morning. I can hear you in the midst of the rise, you were calling. The beginning of a story, Genesis, you're a dream unfolding.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Join us for the sexiest VIP party at Madison Avenue, Santon's newest nightclub. Cliff Central's taking over the VIP area, so join us as our special VIP and start 2016 on the right note. General admission is 200 Rand, but our exclusive VIP party together with Absolute Vodka is 500 Rand, which includes great music with me, Gareth Cliff O'Neill, Miss Prue and the Cliff Central crew, an outdoor tented area, lots of bars, food, prizes, gorgeous people, and a night to remember. Book now for Cliff Central Rocks Madison at CompuTicket.com. Go to CliffCentral.com for more details and stay tuned for everything you need to know. Be Absolute and rock into 2016 with us.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.